I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Martin. This week, I'm joined by someone who hasn't been here in a while, but he's back, Mr. Nick Ryan Magdozo. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. So where have you been?
I've been everywhere. I've been traveling, but staying close to home afterwards.
So Nick is the artist for our original podcast artwork. So, Nick, we got a good 3 years out of your artwork.
Yes.
And no disrespect to you, but we are updating the artwork. So I hope you don't it personally.
Honestly, I was actually still surprised you were still using the artwork.
So I have a new listener, new friend of the podcast, Tom Gerke. He is providing the artwork for the show. It's basically like a live-action version of your artwork, Nick. So
nice.
So it's been inspired by yours,
go.
Right?
There we go.
And he's provided a couple of cool artwork recently for us. We called it Mount Smallville because I joked about a Mount Rushmore of forgotten characters from the second season, and he made one. It was great. So he's doing the main show artwork, and he's also doing the show artwork for our Patreon, which is basically, if you sign up for the Patreon, you get the additional episodes we'll be doing. In your podcast feed, it'll be the Smallville artwork, but instead of wearing the blue shirt and the red jacket, I'll be wearing the red shirt and the blue jacket. And I thought that was the most clever thing in the world. I'm so proud of myself. But that's all thanks to Tom on that artwork there. And so I'm starting a Patreon, Nick. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's awesome. I actually do support a lot of different Patreons. So a couple for Discord, a couple of YouTube channels. So yeah, Patreon is definitely a good way to go.
Okay, so hopefully I can win your patronage one way or the other. But so I know I announced it at the end of a couple episodes ago on Forsaken, but I've kind of finalized everything. I'm going to make the big push for it, just links and whatnot, because I know all y'all would be lining up around the block to sign up for my Patreon feed. So I did want to just go through the tiers real quick now that everything is official. So we are going to have 5 tiers of the Patreon. So the first tier is going to be the Wall of Weird, and that makes you a patron of the podcast. So as a thank you for your donation, you'll be listed on our Wall of Weird, which we will regularly update and post to our social media, like to our Twitter, to our Facebook. Be a nice, fun artwork. I guess I got to ask Tom to do it now that I think about it. So Tom, if you're listening, we'll be doing that as well. So that's for $1 a month. The next tier is Meteor Freak for $3 a month. As a Meteor Freak, you'll get an on-air mention in every episode, both your name, your social media handle, and as a producer of the show. You'll also be listed in the show notes as a patron, and of course, you'll also get the same perks as the Wall of Weird. Now, that's for $1 and $3. That's basically just supporting the show and getting a cool mention, right? You don't get any additional content there. I know, right? Am I being cheap? I don't know. Y'all will let me know. Okay, this is new for me. I haven't done a Patreon before, but I just figured for those first two levels, because, you know, as I've talked about and joked about many times in the podcast, this takes time. It takes money. It takes a toll on your life being a podcaster. So with those first two levels, you're just kind of supporting the show, being a fan, and I thank you very much for it, and I give you a little bit of something like that. So those are the first two levels. So now we go up to the $5 level a month, and you start getting your additional content for the Torch staff. Okay.
Oh, I like that
is thank you. That is $5 a month. You get bi-monthly commentaries. Now I looked up the definition of bi-monthly, much like bi-weekly, and it could mean twice a month or once every other month. So just to be clear, this is twice a month. So as a member of the Torch staff, you'll get a commentary on superhero movies twice a month. We supply the audio, you supply the video, we count you down, 3, 2, 1, play, and off we go. So we'll have some trivia, we'll have some insight, we'll have some laughs, It'll be like you're sitting next to us on the couch watching some of our favorite and least favorite superhero movies. Now, for the most part, that's going to be me and my friend Lance Laster. You've heard him on the show. He's been in the show since episode one. And we're going to sit down and watch some fan favorite episodes together, episodes of movies, superhero films. And we'll take it from there. You know, we'll start with live action, and then we'll see where the road takes us. Just as a preview, we will be posting our Batman 1989 commentary. We're going to start with that one. And for December, we're doing Batman 1989 and Batman Returns, you know, for Christmas. Because some people ask me what my favorite Christmas movie is. I always say Batman Returns because it's a Christmas movie. So
I say Die Hard.
Okay, see, exactly. All right. So we're both wrong, but we're both right. So we are good. So you guys get a taste of that, right? I am going to post the Batman 89 commentary on the main Smallville feed. So even if you're not a patron at all, you will get to hear that. And if you like what you hear, you sign up for $5 a month and get two of those every month, me and Lance. What's not to love? I don't know. You tell me. So those are the first three levels of the Patreon. Level four of the Patreon is the Kawachi Tribe. Okay. Now, this is for $8 a month, and we're going to have special themed discussions. Okay. So as a member of the Kawachi Tribe, you get monthly discussion on a specific topic, zeroing in on particular Smallville plot lines or characters, reviews of newly released superhero movies, retrospective looks at old favorite TV shows, and so on and so forth. It's a catch-all place for conversation about specific Smallville things, as well as superhero media beyond just Smallville and Superman. And you also get the same perks as the Wall of Weir, the Meter Freak, and the Torch Staff as well. So that's what the Kawachi Tribe would get you. And then finally, here's the big one. Level 33.1. All right?
What? Okay. I thought you were trying to say four. That came after four. I was like, that makes no sense.
No, no.
Then I realized.
So yeah, there it is. So for $33.10 per month, all right, we will have a listener roundtable. So as a resident of level 33.1, you'll be part of a monthly roundtable where you, the listeners, pick the topic. We talk about whatever you want for, you know, hour and a half. It can be Smallville. It can be superheroes. It can be anything. So that's you guys dictating what you want to talk about with us, the hosts, on a monthly roundtable. Now, I know it's a lot of money, but 33.1, right? I didn't make up that number. Smallville did. So don't blame me. All right? Level 3 was too low, but level 33.1 was just right. So I know it's a high price to ask. I don't know how many of y'all will be interested in doing it or not, and that's totally fine. If no one does it, we won't do a roundtable. Not a problem. But I wanted to put it out there and see what happens, and that will go a long way to giving us content for years to come on this show. So, Nick, hearing all that, what are your thoughts on this Patreon now?
I actually really like this. It's going to be fun because I do miss seeing you guys and just being able to hear you guys talk about movies and just having their own commentary, because those are the best. Like, sometimes whenever we used to see a movie and then we go straight to the Facebook chat, it's like, okay, what's everybody's thoughts here? So to be able to hear this every month, and you guys have some really great quips and a lot of good, like, insight to this. And sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree, but that's how it is. You just have a conversation.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing you on the Patreon feed there, Nick.
Don't worry. I'll add it to my my monthly bill.
You already
bill.
Said you do it. All right?
I do. That's what I mean.
Set yourself up for failure.
It's just going to be part of the other Patreons that I'm currently backing right now. Okay, I have a question. That roundtable, are you going to actually post it on the podcast, or is it just going to be within the Patreon?
That's a good question, Nick. I hadn't actually thought about it. You're right, because if, you know, best case scenario, right? You get like four people doing that monthly. That'd be awesome, by the way. then are those the only four people to get to hear that? That's kind of, yeah, that doesn't seem right, does it? So, you know, here's what we'll do. We'll add an asterisk to every level and say if a roundtable takes place, you get this, you get to hear it as well. You know, I'm thinking for the $8. And I'm thinking for the $5 and $8, both of them, you know.
Nice.
You would get to hear it. I'm thinking that right now. Now you'll have to see what I actually say on the Patreon. Because you're glad he hasn't been on the podcast in like two seasons. He comes in with these questions on our answers. So that's a good question, Nick. So there you go.
This is why you bring me back.
Yeah. So you know, that was a nice segue there because Nick, you know, did the original art. I mentioned Tom Gerke did the new art. He also did the art for the Patreon. I'm going to go over the Patreon again. And there we go. So that's all said and done there. Look for that in the show notes and on the social media. But what are we doing today, Nick?
Today is mailbag day.
Mailbag day. As if that's a jingle or something. So we're opening up the mailbag yet again. This is the third one we've done. And it's been quite a while since I've opened up the mailbag. But hey, you know, I try to do them like, you know, between seasons or like in hiatuses or when I just need a quick episode. So we got a lot of emails, Facebook messages, iTunes reviews, you know, over the time here between mailbags, and we didn't get to them all, okay? But like, you know, some of you know who you are. We keep in regular correspondence, so I'm not going to read every single one of your emails, for example. But a few of them we'll get through, and then of course, you know, if you left an iTunes review, thank you so much, because iTunes reviews, you know, get up your visibility. So the more iTunes reviews we get, the more people see us. That's what I hear. I don't know. That's what other podcasts say. So I'm just going with that, right?
Right. And don't get us wrong. We've read the emails. Some of them we're going to read out loud. Some of them we've already read, and we thank you for that.
That's true. Yes. Yeah, so if you have sent us an email, message, or review, we have read it ourselves. Okay. You might not hear it on air, but just know that we've read it. So, but I think most of y'all we are going to read here. So just to say. All right, Nick, so let's open the mailbag.
All right, so here we have number one. We have
No, number, we're not counting these.
I should have said the first one.
It's fine, go ahead.
Do you want me to start over?
No, because I'm not editing that. Just keep going.
Okay, fine.
A lot of emails to read.
Batfan Jordan V or 5 from iTunes rated us 5 stars. So what are you, podcast or super podcast? Well, what he has to say is, the answer is the latter. Lana, Smallville is my favorite show of all time, and I'm so happy to have found a podcast that breaks it down in depth. Always Hold On to Smallville is a great podcast, as Smallville is a show, and that is necessary for it to do justice to the incredible series. Zach is extremely knowledgeable and passionate about Smallville. True. He's entertaining to listen and brings in awesome guests to chat with him. Hey, awesome.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jordan. I know Jordan is a very frequent commenter on our Twitter and Facebook pages. So thank you for that. And he's a big Lana fan. So he's quoting the pilot. So what are you, man or Superman? You know, that's where that comes from. Right. So thank you, Jordan. We thank you for your 5-star review. And we thank you for your continued correspondence. And we thank you for your next email, because you also sent us an email. His message says, my top 20 Smallville episodes. He says, hey, Zach, and whoever may be guessing this episode.
Hey, that's me.
That's you. Nick.
Hi.
Thanks for reading my email on the last mailbag. Well, that was a while back. So thanks for your patience, Jordan. I figured I'd send you one for the next mailbag as well. I had so much fun hearing the top 20 episode list that Corey and you curated, so I figured I'd make my own. This is really tough for me, as I love every single episode of this incredible show. The lowest grade any episode of Smallville gets for me, it's an A-. And that's true. Jordan really loves Smallville. But I did my best to narrow it down. I first made my list simply in chronological order, and then I rewatched all 20 episodes that made the cut so that I could ensure I properly order them in terms of my preference. I have a feeling some of these are going to be pretty controversial. There are some episodes that most people aren't big fans of, I have a particular fondness for, one of which may or may not involve a sorority of vampires. I know that one. As you'll notice, the majority of my list is made up of Klonna-focused episodes. It also favors the earlier seasons, as I tend to prefer the Smallville seasons to the Metropolis seasons. The best represented seasons on my list are Season 2 and Season 5, each of which has 4 episodes on it. This doesn't surprise me, as Season 2 is my favorite season of the show. I love the beginning of Season 5 so much, but the second half of Season 5 has always felt like a drop-off to me. That can be discerned from my list as well, as all 4 of the Season 5 episodes on it are from the first half of that season. Anyway, here goes. And yes, Jordan is a big Lana and Kalana fan, so I'm sure that's going to influence his list here. Number 20, Bride. Number 19, Fortune. Number 18, Memoria. Number 17, Forever. Number 16, Power. Number 15, Requiem. Number 14, Relic. Number 13, Accelerate. Number 12, Exodus. Number 11, Slumber. Number 10, Labyrinth. Number 9, Fierce. Number 8, Heat. Number 7, Nicodemus. Number 6, Hidden. Number 5, Mortal. Number 4, Lexmas. Number 3, Thirst. Yes, I'm serious. That's what he says. Number 2, Pilot. And number 1, Calling. So that's a good list there, I'd say. The ones that stick out to me is not belonging on this list would be Fortune, Power, Requiem, Fierce, Thirst. I see why you're forgiving, but you know, I actually like Thirst more than most people. But that's your client shipping coming in, Jordan. I know it. So it's all good. You can have your late season 5 and mid season 8, but Requiem, really. A lot of people rank that as the worst episode, one of the worst episodes of the show. That's the one where Lex dies. Spoilers.
Oh, what?
So, I know, right? So there you go, Jordan. But hey, that's a great thing about fandom. We all have our own preferences and opinions. I'm surprised Reckoning didn't make your list, to be honest. But I guess, much like Reckoning, it's kind of a microcosm of season 5 itself, right? The first half, it's really good towards Clark and Lana, and Klonna. The second half, kind of bad towards it. So that explains why it's not on your list. Not on my top 20 list either, but a lot of people love Reckoning. You ever remember Reckoning, Nick? The 100th episode of Smallville where Lana died?
Oh, yes. It was such a long time ago. And I remember first being teased about it. It's like, I wonder what's going to happen. And when it happened, wasn't really a big fan at the time.
Yeah, if they had switched the deaths, would have been on my top 20 list. But That's a conversation for another time.
I feel like you could say that for almost all DC shows right now.
Well, thank you, Jordan, for that list, and thank you for your iTunes review. But Nick, you want to move on to read our next iTunes review?
Yes, so we got another iTunes review, 5 stars, from Andrew NH, and he says, awesome retrospective series. The host, Zach, and ex-co-hosts of choice each episode, hello, are always knowledgeable and engaging. They know the show back to front like I do, and I'd expect them to. Perfect length. They even delve into specials about cool related movies and shows the audience probably enjoys as well. Was gonna rate it 4 stars because Craig has been on there a few times. JK, love when Craig is on. Anyway, awesome Smallville show. Can't recommend enough. P.S. Always hold on to Smallville.
So I guess Andrew's a friend of Craig Burns.
That's what I was going to assume. So, or you've got to stand there, Craig.
So there you go, Craig. Almost cost us a star. So, but yeah, thanks, Andrew. I appreciate that. And yes, we try to be knowledgeable because, you know, nothing annoys me more than when I'm listening to a podcast and people are like, don't know about the show they're talking about, you know? So I try to pride myself on being knowledgeable. And if I don't know, I make a joke about it. I'll be like, whoa, what year was Whitney in? Was that? Okay. Seriously, you know, you're doing a Smallville podcast. You don't know what year Whitney was in. So examples like that, you know, we've all heard podcasts like that. Mm-hmm. And I get it. Not everybody has an encyclopedic knowledge of everything they talk about, but if you're doing a podcast, you should. Anyway, moving on to our next email. I believe this, and much like Jordan, I think we got a back-to-back iTunes review and email, because this is from Andrew Handel, who I assume is Andrew NH, and he says, top 10 episodes. Hey, writing in after listening to your latest mailbag episode. Love the show. Keep up the great work. I look forward to more of your episodes. I want to keep this email short, but I have one bone to pick with you. In the mailbag episode from last time, he went through episodes of season 7, of which I can actually name off the top of my head backwards. And when episode 10, Persona, came up, you said in tandem, bad. That's me and Lance, right, going through season 7. But here's what he says. What? You have shown you have good taste. I agree with in the past. But how can you dislike Persona? Welling's performance as Bizarro, if this doesn't check out, I'll shove you back into the test tube myself. And Marsters as a desperate hobo brainiac working with him. The sad story of Daxter. Lionel's disappointment in Lex. The end of the Julian arc. Spoilers. So much happened. It was awesome. One of my most rewatched episodes. I'll agree to disagree on this one with you, but it pains me. LOL. Definitely on my top 10 list. Speaking of... .. I don't revisit season 7 very often, but I'll keep an open mind when we get to that episode. But Smallville and its interchangeable titles, like Persona. There's also an episode in season 8 called Identity. You know, it's like, oh, this could just be anything. But anyway, here are we will agree to disagree on that, Andrew. For now, we'll see when I revisit it. But I don't like Bizarro. Right when he comes back, this is season. I don't know if you recall this, Nick, but season 7, Bizarro comes back, right, and he impersonates Clark for a while because Clark is locked in the fortress for disobeying Jor-El, and basically he falls in love with Lana, right, like all the villains do, like everyone does on the show, right?
I don't know. That was her special power that no one really knew about,
and it's that kryptonite link that she wore around all the time, and so they make blue kryptonite, or they find blue kryptonite to defeat Bizarro. And like he's like the last thing he Lana gives it to him and he blows up. He's like, I love you. And then he blows up and it's the stupidest thing ever. And I guess I'm offending you more now, Andrew. But like you said,
I was about to say something. Someone's listening to this right now and you're not really giving him any slack here.
I'm trying to explain why Lance and I are both like pass or bad or whatever it is we said. So anyway, now that I've insulted one of your favorite episodes, here's your top 10 list, Andrew. Number 10, Beast. He says 922. I'm not sure if that's a typo on the episode number or the episode title, because Beast is 820, I believe, and he has 922. 922 is Salvation, and Salvation is my favorite episode. So I don't know. You let us know, Andrew. Let us know
he's definitely going to let us know how he feels after what you just said about his one of his favorite episodes too.
Actually, Persona's not on his top 10.
It
so there's
isn't.
Hope,
yeah.
There's hope for him yet.
Favorite episode in season 7.
Right. Well, not quite, because he's got another one. Anyway, number 10 is confusion aside. Let's get to the rest. Number 9, Lazarus. Okay, solid pick. Number 8, Rogue. Number 7, Pilot. Number 6, Insurgents. Number 5, Hidden. Clark Kent has been shot. So those are his comments. Number 4, Rosetta. Superman passing the torch. Number 3, Run. This episode is not one a lot of people will agree with, but I was Clark's age when the show ran. See what I did there?
I looked away and I was like, was that a pun?
take a shot every time I say that. And also, I ran track and cross country, and it was a lot of things that made this the perfect storm of an episode, and I see it more fondly than some. Number 2, Arctic. Lex versus Clark didn't completely end here, and the series keeps going, but how classic is this showdown, and Brainiac's confrontation was icing on top. Yeah, we're going to agree to disagree on that one too, Andrew, but more to you. And his number 1 episode is Vessel. Love the Lex-Zaw confrontation at the end to cliffhang Clark in the Phantom Zone. I agree, Vessel is one of my favorite episodes. Mainly because of the Clark-Chloe kiss at the end, but that's a story for another time when we get there.
I was about to ask.
And he closes out his email. It's not truly a final form list, because I love so many episodes that I could list, but just what I feel at the moment about it. So much for keeping it short, I try. Thanks for all the content to listen to while I'm bored at work. We appreciate what you do. Always, along with Smallville, Andrew. Well, thank you, Andrew. I apologize for insulting one of your favorite episodes. I give you credit for ranking Vessel number 1. And, we'll have some fun talking about season 7 when we get there, because you seem to love Arctic and have really strong feelings for Persona.
You never know. You never know. You're going to come around to season 7. It's like, a rewatch kind of changed.
Season 7 is my favorite season, guys. But Andrew's right. You know, when I did my top 20 list, I'm like, these are subject to change at any time. because it's hard to narrow those down. But anyway, thank you so much, Andrew, for that. So, Nick, you want to read our next iTunes review?
Yes, another 5 stars from STE Bob 1984.
Gotta love those iTunes handles, but go on.
He goes on to saying, amazing podcasts. Smallville is my favorite show of all time. It's so great going on a nostalgia trip with the podcast. I love the facts that the Smallville companions and also the laughs that you have. Gonna enjoy this show for years to come. Keep up the great work. And I do have to say, it is definitely a nostalgia trip. Like, just even being on the podcast discussing these brings me right back to high school.
That's right, man. Running down the hallways. Did you guys see the fresh episode? Yes, Nick. We saw episode. The fresh episode.
Yeah, whenever I saw you guys.
He was so indoctrinated by the WB. he called it a fresh episode.
When I think about it now, it's probably plays out just like a WB episode. You see me running in the background, and Zach turns around. I was like, oh God, here comes Nick. What is he going to say? Did you guys see the fresh episode?
The fact, though, it's only the fact you call it the fresh episode, because I don't know anyone in the real world who ever referred to it like that other than you. So good time. No, you're right.
I was talking about, right?
I do, of course. But it's a nostalgic trip for me too. I love nostalgia. You know, that's what I'm all about. So anyway.
Yeah, thank you, SC Bob.
Thanks. Thanks for the 5-star review. And I believe you're either from the UK or Australia, because you spelled favorite with a U.
Yeah.
So listeners from across either pond, we appreciate it. So we have an email. Comes from Rebecca McDonald. And she says, Clark's human versus Kryptonian sides. Hey, Zach. First of all, I'm so glad you're back from your hiatus. Your exile episode was great as usual. So, yes, I've been on many exiles and hiatuses, but as I promised, we're going to be back to at least 3 episodes a month for the main feed from this point.
Is there an episode called Hiatus?
No, there's not.
Surprise!
For 10 years, I think they would have pulled that one out. But she goes on to say, my question is related to future episodes, though, and since you're a leading Smallville authority, well, I thought I'd ask you. It always puzzles me when characters on the show talk about Clark's, quote, human side and his, quote, Kryptonian side. I mean, Clark's a full-blooded Kryptonian, right? He has no, quote, sides, per se, unless they're just speaking figuratively about his human values from being raised by the Kents. But also, in Hidden, when Clark gets his powers back, he tells Martha and Jonathan, quote, I'm not human anymore. And there are a lot of times when Clark and others reference his, quote, Kryptonian side. Maybe it's all figurative, but it seems strange. That brings me to Davis Bloom / Doomsday. He's a Kryptonian creation made from Zod and Fayor's DNA, plus some other stuff, right? So when Chloe uses black kryptonite to split Davis from the Beast, the, quote, Davis side should still be Kryptonian, no? But he seems to be human, or at least mortal, and be able to be killed by Jimmy. So many spoilers. What's up with this? Am I completely out to lunch? I never read the comics, so maybe I'm missing something. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Well, thank you for the email, Rebecca. So, yeah, it's a figurative thing. You know, he's not like Spock from Star Trek, who's like half human and half Vulcan, who truly is like half and half. They're talking about pretty much like being raised by the Kents or his influence from Jor-El, you know, being Kryptonian and whatnot. Like, and I think that's really what they're referring to, you know, the values, as you said in the email. So I don't know if it's a budget thing or not, but and we're going to talk about Crusade here in a couple episodes. But when Clark gets split into two, in a Crusade, like, he doesn't really get split into two. It's like kind of like a double thing, and it's weird. But I was hoping he gets split into two, like Superman 3 style, you know, where you have like evil Superman and Clark fighting in the junkyard. So anyway, that's not what happens with Black Kryptonite for Clark, but it does happen that way for Doomsday. But there is Doomsday's different because he's got like the Beast and the Davis Bloom, as Sam Witwer has said in the past, it's like camouflage, you know. So that more makes sense why those two halves will be split. Although I see what you're saying. Like, so he's just human after all, like Davis Bloom, because he gets killed by, like, Jimmy stabs him with, like, a pipe or something. I don't recall off the top of my head. But yeah, no, there are no halves to Clark or whatever. There's just basically, you know, there's, like, the Clark Kent side and the Superman side. That's the best way to look at it. And Davis and Doomsday, you know, I don't think Davis should have turned back into Davis at all after Bride, you know. But unfortunately, you got a 22-episode season. You got to keep that plot line going, so... That's why I did the whole werewolf kind of thing with him throughout the rest of the season, but yeah, that's a good point. I'll have to keep a closer eye for that when we get to Doomsday, and see how that works with him being killed, by normal human means. But I think the twist there was Clark pretty much like that was kind of to throw Clark for a loop, because he's like, oh, if I separate Kryptonian stuff is bad and human stuff is good, and if I separate the Kryptonian stuff from the human stuff, Davis will be fine. But kind of the irony of it all, Davis was a killer and, you know, killed Jimmy, you know, because he was out of anger. So anyway, there you go. Hope that answers your question. Let's move on to our next email. Nick, you want to take it over?
Yeah. So we have another email. This is from Frank Hogan, titled Random Feedback. Hey, Zach, you may or may not have heard from me, but I've been listening to your podcast for a while. It's very interesting to hear your opinions on the show, considering you were a teenager when it all started and grew with Clark until it ended.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all knew this, but I was the same age as Clark.
I was watching.
All right, go on.
You noticed a lot of things about the world of high school that I didn't. I, on the other hand, was nine-ish when the show started, so a lot of the drama in the show I couldn't relate to and didn't care for. I am, however, a huge fan of all superhumans and superpowers throughout the show, and did my best to take notice of what Clark was and what and should have been capable of. Now that I'm older, I appreciate the drama far more than I used to. I have a few things that I have been wanting to say for a while. Number one, I agree with you that Clark should have ended up with Chloe. Look at that. She literally had everything he needed in a partner and has always been very accepting of him inside out.
Great.
Lex and Lionel were the best actors of the show. I miss both when they were around.
Agreed.
Definitely agree. The more I listen to you, the more I realize that Lana's run on the show was far too long, and that romance between her and Lex should have never happened.
Agreed. Three for three so far.
Season four was great.
No, wrong. Incorrect.
If only you didn't let him finish. If only because of the episode Run. Does that
Run is one of the five good episodes in season four.
Yes. So it's come see, come saw, like in the middle. I have a few questions for you. Number one, favorite meteor freak of all time. Favorite non-meteor enhanced superhuman of all time. Favorite villain, not including a Luther.
All right, let's answer these real quick before we. Yeah. All right. Favorite meteor freak. I'm gonna have to go with Eric Summers from Leech.
Oh,
he comes back in Asylum. Was that yours as well?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, so why is he your favorite?
It's just the power. It's just it's. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't feel like it's a gimmick. It's more of something that can actually be written to. Does that make sense? I think it's more of the development of the actual character rather than, oh, hey, I can freeze stuff or catch things on fire. He has to actually be smart with it.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's a character study of, like, Clark's powers and how they get, you know, and if Clark was in a different family or a different, it's just like, If Clark's situation took a left turn somewhere, that could have been Eric Summers, you know. Mm-hmm. And Sean Ashmore, great actor, you know, comes back for Asylum, went on to movie stardom and other TV stardom. So he's my favorite meteor freak. So cool. Favorite non meteor enhanced superhuman. Like, I guess we're talking about Smallville superheroes, right? So I guess Who was your favorite superhero on Smallville? It wasn't from the meteor. You go first, Nick.
I was gonna go with Green Arrow. But probably because of her, he did justice with Chloe, so that I think that kind of rubs off a little there. But I might be playing a little biased because the first couple of seasons of Arrow is still kind of fresh in my mind.
Well, is he a superhuman though?
Well, it's a non-meteor. Oh, wait. Okay. Mm-hmm. I read the question wrong. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's my fault. I was thinking it said non-meteor.
By the way, do you watch This Is Us?
I haven't yet.
Oh, you have to watch it. Justin Hartley's a maker. I still follow
okay.
Green Arrow.
Okay. I was like, is it because
why are you bringing this up now? Peter Petrelli and Oliver Queen are on the show. All right. So that's honest to God, that's why I started watching. I'm like, all right.
But
I love Justin Hartley from Smallville. I love Milo V. I'm never gonna.
Well, I love Mandy Moore, so it might.
There you go.
I've been meaning to watch it. Everyone has been telling me to watch it. I just
it's literally the best show on TV. But anyway,
okay.
There's your Green Arrow tangent. Who is your favorite non-meteor enhanced superhuman of all time? All
right, now I'm gonna have to come back to that. You go ahead and let me think for a second.
All right, let me think about this.
Oof.
Non-meteor enhanced superhuman. I mean, I really did like Hawkman. I'm just trying to think of, you know, other superheroes on Smallville.
Cyborg?
He counts as well.
He counts as well, so, yeah. Cyborg was actually pretty cool.
We're talking in the Smallville universe now.
Yes, okay? Yes. So, that's where I'm talking about, yeah.
Green Arrow doesn't count because he's just...
He has money.
Yeah, that's a super. I'm rich. So that's
poor man's Batman for
poor man's Batman. Yeah. Walmart Batman, they say. Mm-hmm. So I'm going with Hawkman. You're going with Cyborg.
I'm going with Cyborg.
Yeah. Why you like the cybernet? Like he can hack into stuff. And
yeah,
stuff.
And I think it's also his little small little backstory too, where he's like, oh, I just want to be normal.
Cool. I like Hawkman. I like the actor, Michael Shanks. And he was just pretty hardcore, you know? Like, it was cool to see, like, a gruff veteran superhero in this Marvel, you know, in a show full of young, pretty people, right? He was, like, an older guy who had seen some stuff, you know, mm-hmm. and I liked that, and he was going to kind of, and he kind of led the Justice Society, so that's what I'm going with him. Now, favorite villain, not including a Luthor. Obviously, Lionel and Lex, you know, if they would be the answer. So my favorite, I have an answer already. My favorite non-Luthor villain on Smallville would be Zod from season 9. I think he had a full character arc from start to finish. And, you know, he was a human, so you could see him the whole time. It wasn't like Doomsday or Darkseid, mm-hmm. which are both disappointing ultimately. And you never were on his side, but you did see his point of view. Right. And I thought they had a great dynamic all through season 9. So that's why he is my favorite non-Luthor villain on the show.
Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to have to agree with you, because for me, truly, the Luthers in my heart probably going to be my favorite villains of all time. And even because of the show, I love the Luthers in the comics now, and just because of the fact they planted that seed. But yeah, I do have to go with Zod as well. You're right. It definitely fleshed out. They actually knew what they were doing with this character, rather than having a villain of the week or villain or freak of the week. So
they actually knew what they were doing with this character. That is something you can rarely say on this show. So.
Yeah, but definitely got to go with Zod.
All right, and last but not least, to carry on the end of the email, mm-hmm. He says, I noticed you bring up the show Heroes a lot, and that happens to be my second favorite show of all time. What a coincidence. Peter Petrelli, all right?
Yeah, Petrelli.
This is us. I still call him Peter Petrelli. In the spirit of both shows, whose powers would you rather have? Peter Petrelli's original power set or Clark's, and why? That's a good question. I would go with Peter's. Because original, and it's so sad. Peter's original power.
It's the writer's strike.
There's no limit. There's no limit to what you can take on. You know, like Superman, his powers are set. You know, but if you're Peter Petrelli, you know, you just need to meet Hiro Nakamura, and you can travel through time and space. Or you meet Claude, and you become invisible, right? Or you meet Claire, and you're, you know, invincible. So you got to meet all these people in the right order, though. You're really screwed. So, you know, your brother can fly. So yeah, I'm going with Peter Petrelli's original power set from Heroes. What about you, Nick?
Man, actually, when you put them side to side, you look at all the powers, you definitely are going to lean toward Peter Petrelli. But I think I might actually lean toward Clark, just because it is set. Like, I don't want to have that. What's the word? That unknown. It's like, oh, what if somebody else shows up and. Honestly, his life is doing really well too, as with Peter. When you kind of compare them, as in like,
here's another thing though: the power, this kryptonite also factor in.
Oh, I didn't even think about it.
Because there's no kryptonite for Peter Petrelli.
That's very true. Well, Siler.
unless you stab him in the back of the brain or something. Yeah.
No,
this has got me on my hole. We got to do Heroes. It's the next podcast. Yeah.
Oh man,
If this was a Heroes podcast, Nick, we'd be almost done.
Yeah, that's very. That's exactly what I was gonna say. unless we just want to talk about what could have been for whole season.
No, we do that enough every day. So yeah, so there you go. So Clark Kent for you, Peter Petrelli for me. Mm-hmm. And then he finishes out. Thanks for your time. I know it was a long email. I've held on to Smallville since I was 9, and don't plan on letting go anytime soon. So, thanks so much for that, Frank. Hope you enjoyed our answers to your questions. Nick, you want to go ahead and read the next one?
Yeah. So this is another one from Robin Sodmont. So this is email. So he says, she says, hello again. Hello, Zach. I was just listening to the latest episode of Always Hold On to Smallville, Relic, Awesome Con. So this is the Awesome Con episode. I shared so many of the same thoughts as you did, and it was nice to hear that you and Lance thought and gathered from Awesome Con. I wanted to say it was great to meet you. It was cool to say hello and meet face-to-face after listening to this podcast all this time. So thanks to you and Lance for taking time out of your con schedule to say hello and chat for a bit. I'm glad to see we both made it to the White House as discussed.
That's right. This is back in Awesome Con was in Washington, D.C. back in April.
April? Yeah.
And yeah, it was in Washington, D.C., so we stopped by the White House.
Nice.
Because you got to go to the White House when you're Washington, D.C. political, I don't care if you're left or right, center, whatever. It's the White House. Yeah. You gotta go visit it.
Lex Luthor is mine. He has my vote.
Lex Luthor. Did you vote for Lex on last week?
So. So that was my first con experience ever, and it was a delight. I love how much Superman and even Smallville items were around. It was amazing. It was neat to see this community of people all there in support of the same thing, where everyone could geek out over something they love and be proud of it. I too saw different Smallville shirts and jackets around, the official Smallville Letterman jackets and the blue shirt, red jacket combo. I ended up talking with the girl in the Superman panel Saturday morning who was in front of us with the blur red Smallville jacket on and a Supergirl outfit. She even got Tom Welling to wear that and her glasses later in the photo op. Growing up with Smallville, with no Twitter and no friends or family who watched the show, it was surreal to be in a place with so many things dedicated to it and be around fans of the show and discuss it. I didn't know there would be so many, and they sure showed up, which is great to show people like Tom, who hasn't done these before, how much he and the show meant to so many of us.
Yeah, I'll cut in right there for a second. I do agree. Because obviously there's no social media back when Smallville was mm-hmm. around. I mean, there was the internet, and like Facebook had just started, you know, about halfway through the show.
You actually had to be in high school to get it.
Yeah, that's true. But or college, yeah.
College, yeah.
But there was Krypton site. Krypton site still exists. And I was a member of the forums there from like season 3 to season 5-ish. But yeah, I mean, you see today, you see so many Arrow, Flash, whatever people, right? But it was great to see so many Smallville people there. And it's so true because, you know, I've been to Star Trek conventions my whole life, and it's great to be around all the Star Trek stuff. But going to a comic convention, it's not like a Smallville convention, but it was the biggest event at the time because this is the first convention that Tom and Michael have both appeared at together. I think it was Tom's first convention, honestly. So it was a big deal, and there were a lot of people there in their No Tights, No Flight shirts they got from Tom's St. Jude charity thing. I have many shirts and sweatshirts of that. The letter jackets, the blur jackets. It was great just to see all that, and you knew why those people were there. So I 100% agree with you, Robin. So I'm going to carry on.
Yeah. And she goes on, like you, I wasn't sure what to expect meeting Tom or seeing him in person. Feeling and knowing a lot of what you mentioned on the podcast, I was wondering how that might go and what he would think of these hordes of fans. But I too thought he was so genuine, kind, and fun. It was a delight to see him and Michael together, hear their stories, see the friendship, and laugh along with them. I wish I had the money to get the photo op of both of them, and while there, I really regretted not previously buying the autograph, as it seemed like people had a little bit more time to chat there than the photo op. But my sister and I walked that area and got to see him and Michael interacting, and that was neat. And I enjoy hearing your stories and reading a few on Twitter. I'm so glad Welling made it out and was as great as I was hoping. My young self growing up with the show would have never dreamed I got to meet him. My photo with him is already hanging above my Superman Smallville collection. If they come up again, which I hope, I am definitely investing in all there is to offer with both of them, because it would have been lovely to meet Rosenbaum as well. So cool that he gave you an opening for the podcast. Those two really showed up for the fans, and it was a wonderful weekend and awesome event to happen. I enjoyed hearing your perspective of Awesome Con on the podcast, and I will definitely keep listening. Fingers crossed for the Smallville animated project, and we see these guys more at events. I will be
and that we see. That's her typo, not yours, Nick. Sorry, Robin.
I was trying to figure this out.
Nick can read. It's just a typo. It's okay.
And she finishes with, I will be checking out Black Lightning hopefully this weekend per your suggestion. Thanks for doing the podcast. Take care.
Well, thanks, Robin. You've been emailing in a fan of the podcast for a long time. It was really nice to meet you there. You're wearing your No Tights, No Flight shirt, so it was easy to find you. And absolutely. I think, as we've seen, you know, Tom and Michael are kind of doing the convention circuit, so you're definitely going to get a chance to see them again at some point. So save up and go all in for when they come next time. So, and yeah, and Rosenbaum was awesome for giving me that soundbite. I totally agree. So
that is so cool.
Sorry. And I hope you like Black Lightning, by the way. The best Arrowverse show going on right now, even though it's not technically part of the Arrowverse.
Yet.
It will be one day. Yeah.
Yet.
That crisis on Infinite Earths that's inevitable. So, anyway, our next email is from Roger LeBlanc. He says, have really loved listening. And he says, Zach, I felt compelled to write you to say how much I've been enjoying the podcast. I watched Smallville for all 10 years, and it was my absolute favorite show to enjoy. Sometime hate watch. I know just what you mean. And always to overanalyze and talk about with my family and friends. Listening to your podcast has brought back so many good memories, and I have loved hearing about episodes I haven't thought about in a long time. I especially loved hearing the background from the official companions and a retrospective commentary. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on the later seasons as the show morphs and changes over the years. Please keep it going. Kind regards, Roger. Yeah, well, I plan to keep it going, Roger. So we're going to get through all 10 of these seasons, one way or the other. But
yeah,
but, you know, thanks for the thanks for the email. And yeah, like I said earlier, nostalgia, you know, it's huge. So, I mean, it's just fun to reminisce about, you know, where we were in life at the time of the show and where we are now and all that good stuff. So it's all part of it.
All right. So we have another email from one of the big time fans, Corey Moore. No relation, right?
No relation.
So he's talking about Magnetic. He goes, hi, Zach. Definitely have Victoria Mail back on the podcast. She was tremendous and worked well with you. I have two.
Male.
Oh, that's my fault. I have two daughters who are 9 and 3. So I'm terrified to hear Victoria at 11 or 12 years old, how she was attracted to Tom Welling. I'm not ready for my girls to like boys. That warmed my heart to hear that Victoria loved season 4. The spell episode is soon.
Yes, and yes. And you're gonna, yeah, he threatens me about this all the time, right? Corey is going to be on spell.
Okay.
Right? He's talked about he wants to defend it, so he's gonna get his chance. So
Magnetic was a hot pile of steaming. Well, I think you know where I was going. I still enjoyed this episode, though. There's always something in each Smallville episode that kicks butt. My favorite scene was when Lana was wearing the custodian outfit, mopping the floor, cracks me up every time I see it. But the best scene was when Lana was in jail and deceived Clark, telling him Seth has a brother in Granville. It fooled Clark and it fooled me the first time. Looking back at my records, I did give this a C-, just like you and Victoria did. A below-average episode with a few cool things. Clark's heat vision on the pavement, Lex and Chloe scenes, etc. Up, up, and away!
Well, thanks, Corey. Corey and I are in regular correspondence. He sends me an email pretty much after every episode with his thoughts, and I always look forward to that because I always know I can expect an email from Corey a day or two after a new podcast shots. But, you know, I wanted to read this one because he goes in some depth about some things. And definitely, Victoria is a great guest. Love talking to her about Smallville. I was on her podcast, Your Biggest Fangirl, recently, so I recommend everybody check them out on Facebook and Twitter and iTunes and all that good stuff. And she will be back for a couple episodes for season 4 and so on and so forth. So it's a great podcaster, great guest, and I really enjoy talking to Smallville with her. She's a big fan and enjoys it just as much as you guys enjoy listening to her. So our next iTunes review is from No Cook Chili. We got a 5-star review. Greatest podcast about the greatest show. And they say, the hosts give honest reviews of each episode, but you can tell they love the show as much as I do. In a period of a few weeks, I listened to 19 episodes.
Oh my gosh.
I can't turn it off. My 11-year-old son is even listening to the podcast and then asking me where my DVDs of Smallville are. Keep up the great work. Well, that's great. I love that we can, you know, make it a family affair, right? Because I joke about it as being a quote-unquote family show, but it is. I like to kind of keep it a family show here. We try to keep it a clean podcast. We'll drop an occasional profane comment or two for comedy's sake, but, you know, beep out the curse words and whatnot. As you know, I find curse words a lot more amusing when there is a beep. Maybe this was, that's the way we grew up watching television as kids.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that anymore, right? I think most words you can say, you know, the 7 words you can't say on TV, I think you can say them pretty much all now except for 2 or 3. But anyway, all that to say, glad you can watch the show with your son. I hope you guys enjoy the podcast as we keep going. And thanks a lot for the 5-star review.
All right, we have another 5-star review coming from iTunes from James M. Spawn, a podcast of unconditional love. Zach and co. go episode by episode through the entire run of Smallville, the young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2010. But what's
on the WB and the CW, where'd you get that from? Anyway.
But what's refreshing is that the hosts don't shy away from pointing out the show's flaws. No, he's not. Sure, it's a wonderful trip down Nostalgia Street to the Kent Farm, but the hosts are never afraid to discuss the show's weaker points, and they always do it from a place of affection and sincerity. If you're a fan of Smallville, or if you've always been curious about the show, this is the perfect podcast. Personally, it inspired me to do my own watch through, and like the hosts, I'm falling in love with this show all over again, often as much for its flaws as much as in spite of them. I hope they power through and get through all 200 episodes of the show. This love of both the Man of Steel in general and this show is particular, in particular, keep the hosts enthusiastic and energetic, even when reviewing weaker episodes in the show's run. Meanwhile, when reviewing stronger episodes, the hosts are quick to point out when powerhouse performances from the likes of Rosenbaum and Glover, along with highlighting the show's myriad of guest stars during its run. Top-notch podcast and a genuine joy to listen to. Thank you, James.
Thanks, James. It means a lot, man. I appreciate your in-depth review. And yes, I promise we're going to get through all 200-plus episodes. So it's part of the deal. So it might take a while, but we're going to get there. So our next review is a 5-star review on iTunes from Kusis! Exclamation point. And their message is ruining trucks. Found this podcast through an X-Files podcast. Hadn't watched Smallville in order before, and this podcast has been my listening buddy. Host has a good balance of knowledge and critical analysis. Well, thank you. Lance is a highlight guest. There it is, Lance. You're listening? You're a highlight guest, buddy. only a fourth of the way through, and quality has been consistent. Well, I appreciate that. And you must have heard me on the X-Cast, which I... been on my friend Tony Black has a kind of a sister show, you know, same thing we do here for Smallville, he does for the X-Files. He's been on an episode in season 2. He's come back in season 4 to do an episode. And so yeah, I'm glad you found me through the X-Cast. And you know, big Smallville connection, Smallville and the X-Files. Mark Snow did the music for the X-Files. He did the music of the first half of the series of Smallville. So yeah, and thank you for your comments about our quality, because we try to keep it consistent. So
all right, so now we have another iTunes 5-star rating from 918 Randy. He says, "This is a great show. Host Zach Moore has a great voice."
Well, thank you.
"Also, great snarky, sarcastic observations. He knows where all the characters are at through their 10-year arcs. He keeps a track of hospital visits, Chloe's off-screen sources, Kent's truck wrecks, and insurance concerns, people that show up in Clark's hay bales, and 20 other things, tallied as they go through the season, episode by episode. Also, there are Superman specials and mailbags. Hey, that's us right now. It's a great when Zach gets off topic." All the time.
Oh, really? Okay.
"He said that this week that Clark should really have a truck. Everyone would be asking, 'How'd you get here, Clark?' if Clark was known to have one. That kept me smiling for 2 days, telling friends that I could care less. Also, Zach is a host of Standard Orbit about Star Trek TOS, and he guest starts everywhere."
Thanks, Randy. Yes, that is my other podcast. I do Standard Orbit on the Trek FM network. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM, or on Facebook or the internet at Trek FM. And he mentioned the trucks. That's what the topic of the previous iTunes review was, ruining trucks. So I guess that's everybody kind of latched onto that about the truck. So definitely, he shows up in Metropolis. It's like, "Clark, how'd you get here?" It's like, "Oh, this is before Uber, so I don't know what he said." But anyway, it would be a good cover for him. But anyway, so thank you for that 5-star review, Randy. I very much appreciate it. So, and I'm glad you enjoy my tangents as well. I do as well. So. I literally have a microphone here. I'm going to use it for what I want to talk about. So anyway, the next iTunes review is from FilmGirl23. Gave us a 5-star review. She said, "A must listen for all Smallville fans." And her message is, "This is an amazing podcast. It's the only podcast out there that goes through each and every episode of Smallville and discusses the episode scene by scene. Zach does a great job outlining the pros and cons of every episode while still expressing why the episode is important to him. They're wonderful guests each week who are huge Smallville fans and bring in their awesome points of view. I love when there is a guest that has a completely different view than Zach. The tally board is both hilarious and awesome. The podcast is currently on season 3, my absolute favorite season, and the episodes have been so much fun to listen to. Love that this podcast exists. My geeky Smallville heart truly bursts with joy while listening to this podcast each week. Definitely check it out. Amanda Nandahl." So thank you, Ameta. I know you've been commenting on things on our social media for a while, so you're a big fan, and I appreciate the review. And yeah, we just finished season three, and you know, it's hard to say what my favorite season is. I was saying season one when we first started. I mean, season three is probably the most consistent season, probably the best season of the show right now. My favorite, I don't know, my favorite era is seasons one through three. Uh-huh. But we're going to have to wait till through the whole podcast. We'll do a whole retrospective on which is my favorite season.
Yeah, it's probably going to change to season seven.
Three, yeah. or four, right? Anyway.
All right, so we have another iTunes review from K-Slice with 5 stars. Always hold on to Smallville. So it's Inception. Looking forward to new sods every week. Enjoy the sods. I'm surprised you didn't say fresh sods. I would have been so.
I've never heard that or seen them. Sods. That's good. I like that, Kay.
Enjoy the honest look at the ridiculousness of the show and the ability to love it all at the same time.
That's what it's about, right, Nick?
Yeah. It's.
I mean, that's why we have fun talking about it.
If we didn't have fun, why wouldn't we be talking about it?
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to sit here and say, this episode was the worst piece of trash I ever saw. But also, we don't want to say, oh my God, this is the best show of all time. You know, there's a middle ground to be found. Mm-hmm. And that's where we try to exist, in the middle ground. So anyway, oh boy. So thank you for the 5-star review, Kay. So, and then Broody, 7233, left us a 5-star review called Holding On to Smallville. Love that there are still many people out there who want to talk in depth about a show I loved so much. Always look forward to the next podcast. Hashtag Smallville forever.
And also, we have another message from Ryan U11, iTunes, for another 5 stars. Basically, simply the best. One of my all-time favorite podcasts. Revisit here often.
Well, thank you, Ryan. Revisit on a weekly basis if you want, but you can binge us too. Let those pile up over time. I know people do that, but anyway,
they're
thank
good
you
for long
very
trips.
Much. They are. Have you listened to us on long trips, Nick?
Yes, I have.
Wait, okay, good. And you don't get tired of us?
No, I don't. Your voice maybe. See, it's not. It's more when Lance is on.
That's, yeah, I know you're just kidding, but like that's why I like having the rotating guests, because I think, you know, like I would get bored of talking to the same person every week, and I'm sure they would get bored of talking to me every week. So that's why I have a rotating, you know, the rotating co-host has been a very successful thing so far. So I met some great people just through doing this podcast who have become friends through, who have been, you know, I'm like, hey, do you like Smallville? You want to be on the podcast? And now we're friends, and it's great. So anyway, some of us have become enemies, but that's a discussion for another time. So we have an email from Nathan McKenzie. He says, big fan of your podcast. He says, Zach, firstly, I really enjoy your podcast. I've only recently got into the whole podcast scene, and the first search I did was for Superman. My love for the character comes from my childhood, and more importantly, that he was adopted by the Kents. This appeals to me, as even though I'm not an alien from a distant universe, I too am adopted. So, after searching for Superman, it led me to thinking about everything I love about the character from TV, movies, comics. I grew up with the Christopher Reeve movies, Superboy. For me, it was after school viewing. Lois and Clark, and of course, Smallville. So I searched for Smallville and found your podcast. There was a time where every 2 years or so, I would go through and watch the entire series from start to finish. Watching anywhere from up to four episodes a night. Listening to your podcast, I'm watching the episode with you, listening what you and your guests on the show have to say. I'm almost visualizing the episode and remembering it as you go through. I have just finished season 1, episode 21, Tempest. I enjoyed the episode, and also that your guest host is Matt Truex from another podcast I listened to, Lois and Clark. I hope that I will catch up quickly to your current episodes and hopefully maybe even be on your show. Don't know how that will go since I live in Australia. Matt Truex, one of the guys I was talking about. Become good friends with Matt. They're doing the podcast. He had a Lois and Clark podcast. I had a Smallville podcast. You know, he's a huge Smallville fan. He's one of my favorite guests to have on the show. So, case point right there. Superman is and will always be my favorite superhero, through good and the bad. I've started a Facebook page and Twitter account. You can find me on Facebook, The M Word, and on Twitter, at The M Word 81. You may have already seen interaction from me in the past. My personal Facebook page is Nathan McKenzie, and Twitter, at Mac A McKenzie. Hope to hear from you soon. Nathan McKenzie, and he says that the city's in Australia. Brisbane, Australia. So thanks, Nate. I, you know, we have a time difference there, but you know what the great thing about podcasts is? That doesn't matter. because you can pause and listen to podcasts whenever it happens. And so, yeah, you've heard our friend Jazz Keegan. He's in Australia. He's been on the show before. So we'll see what we can do for you, Nate. So I appreciate your email. And that, you know, and I like his point about being adopted. You know, I think that goes to the point of Superman being like the outsider. You know, he's an alien, you know, stranger in a strange land, but he's also like, you know, he doesn't feel at home even when he's at home, you know? And but he has he has the best family, you know? I mean, that's the great, you know, I don't know if it's irony or what, right? But Lex Luthor on the show, right? His family is like the worst, you know. And Clark, you know, he has, like, even though he's adopted, he has the best family. So that shows you, like, no matter what your situation is, you know, you can make the most of it with the right people. So I think that's I find the Smallville story and the Superman story in general a very encouraging story towards, like, you know, adopting children and being adopted yourself. And I can see why, you know, if you were adopted, definitely you would latch on to a story like that.
All right. So now we have another message from Adam Turk. And this time it was posted on Facebook. He writes, "Hey, Zach, Adam here, reaching out from Richmond, Virginia. Thank you so much for this podcast. I, like you, watched it growing up. First 3 seasons live, then fell off the wagon for 3 years or so, and picked it back up around season 6, and have watched it all the way through 3 times. After listening to your podcast for the first 2 seasons, I was itching to rewatch 4, but I hesitated. There's so much content here. Watching the show is an undertaking. One that won't destroy an entire section of a city. Yeah, I watch Arrow too. And can be overwhelming. When it's good, it's downright super." Oh, I see what you did there. "Some of the best television there is. But when it's bad, woof. I didn't know if I was up for that. Then I had an epiphany. I have made this rewatch project. I'm rating every episode from 1 to 10 in 2 categories. Overall quality and significance to the overarching plot and character development. And averaging those scores. The goal being to establish different cuts of the show wherein you skip an episode if it doesn't meet a certain and, at this point, undecided rating. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. I'm copying my notes for season 1 in this message. Regardless, please keep making the podcast. Take care and always hold on, brother. Level up, Adam."
Thanks, Adam, for the email. I think it's a pretty extensive list here.
Yes.
Here's what we're going to do, Adam, because we got a lot of emails to read. I'm going to take a screenshot of your list, and we're going to post it on our social media. We can talk about it there, all right? So we can have some good discourse back and forth over there, because we got I do like what you're doing here.
It is nice.
With the ratings and your comments. It's very in-depth, and we will talk about this on the social media. So put a pin in that. We're not done with that yet, Adam. Keep on rating those episodes and keep sending them to us, and we can talk about them that way. So I admire your dedication, so... So moving on to our next iTunes review, we have a 5-star review from Smitty RY17 called "Reliving My Childhood." "I started watching Smallville in high school, season 5 at that time. My friend had all the DVDs, and I would borrow them. To this day, this is the only show I've ever went out and got all the DVDs for." There you go.
Yeah.
"Hearing the host talk about the show makes me want to talk about it all over. Love the tally counter as well as the Easter eggs. I'm only on the 17th episode now, but I can't wait to hear how the podcast grows." Well, it just gets better and better, let me tell you, Smitty. So
awesome. So we also have another iTunes review. We got 5 stars from the Phil Jordan. He says, "Great look back at a great show. Zach does a great job breaking down each episode for the good and the bad. Good job, Zach."
Well, thank you, Nick. Thank you, Phil. So yeah, the good and bad. You know, we're not going to lie. Not everything's good and everything's bad. So, another email from our friend Corey Moore. He says, "Hello, Zach. I enjoyed Hereafter quite a bit, grading it a B-, but the character of Adam bugs me a lot. So when he's in an episode, it immediately gets docked down a bit." So what do you think? Do you remember Adam Knight,
yeah.
Nick? You know, not Batman. What'd you think of him on the show?
I want to say he wasn't distracting, but it was kind of filler. So for me, I don't think I would dock it a whole letter grade, but it's... He's there.
Well, okay. All right. So Corey goes on to talk about a few more things, but the main thing he wanted to thank me for is, "Thanks for adding Shut That Laptop to the tally board."
Yes.
"Well, we'll have a higher total at the end. The truck can accident our laptop. My money is on Shut That Laptop." I agree. I think more people are going to be shutting their laptop than the amount of times Kent trucks get destroyed. And then he signs off saying, "Lately, I've had a lot of time to listen to podcasts. due to all the course mowing I do at the golf course, okay? So I've recently been listening to your backlog of episodes, and let me be the first to let you know they age well and stand the test of time. A+ on the letter grade scale for Always Hold On to Smallville. Thank you. I'm currently at your Rush episode again. In your world, greens means stop, and red means go. Up, up, and away. Thanks, Corey. So I'm glad we can keep company out there mowing the golf course.
All right, now we got another one from Joyce8694 on iTunes. She gave 5 stars. Great Smallville podcast. It's important to know that this is a retrospective podcast, so there will be spoilers. Caution.
Yeah, especially this episode.
You might want to make sure you put a little spoiler thing in the beginning. Caution for Smallville first-timers, but excellent for rewatchers. The host, Zach, is very familiar with Smallville and knowledgeable on Superman lore. There's a large selection of guests instead of always having the same 2 guys, so if you're binge listening, you'll never be fatigued. Plus, most guests are excellent. Lance, Matt Trux, Nancy, Matt Latham, and Craig are some reoccurring guests that have great rapport with Zach. So it's always a pleasure listening to their discussions.
I'll say your name on the list, Nick.
I was going to say my name, but I felt like I was going to. No one would have noticed.
Yeah, you haven't been on in a while.
Yes, that, fair enough. You know, yeah, it was. We were still babies in the beginning too. Okay. So Zach also includes a well-balanced amount of deleted scenes and information from Smallville, the official companion, available where books are sold.
She writes
it all out with the hyphens. And so this is also a great podcast for those who want to know more about behind the scenes of Smallville. Smallville is a WBCW show, so there's bound to be some ship talking. And just as Clark had serious Lana blinders, Zach has his Chloe blinders on a bit too much at times.
Wait, what is this?
As a neutral, I think it's mostly in good humor, though. There's only one time where a guest described Lana as looking like a cat that I found somewhat offensive. Otherwise, the shipping talk has never been a problem for me. Overall, a definite 5-star podcast.
Well, thank you, Joyce. And I might have some Chloe blinders, but you know, what are you gonna do? Right. So, and thank you. I'm sure you know Lance, Matt, Nancy, and Craig. You know, they're some of my favorite guests. Nick, I was giving you a hard time. Nick, I got to say, Nick was in. You were in quite a few episodes in the first season, mm-hmm. I believe, weren't you, Nick? So when I started this podcast, I looked around. I'm like, who will be willing to talk about Smile with me? I'm like, Nick Ryan Mendoza, he will, because he always wants to talk about the fresh episodes. So, well, Nick has not been around for a while, but Nick was a big part of starting this podcast. So I want to give him credit.
And it's easy now. You guys have it all on Hulu. When we first started, we had to go find the episode.
Pull out DVDs.
Yeah. So as soon as I heard that it was being on Hulu, I was just thinking, oh man, this is really going to take off. So good times.
All right. Well, thank you for the review, Joyce. I appreciate it very much. And I love all the, you know, available wherever books are sold. Thank you for paying attention to that shtick. I don't know why I started that, but it's kind of caught on. And now, you know, I think someone asked me, like, where the companions, where I could get them. I'm like, well, they're available wherever books are sold. And I think I just decided to kind of keep that as a little joke for myself. But they're actually kind of hard to find. If you do want to buy them, they'll go through Krypton's site. Because I believe there's still some links on Krypton's site to the story there, and Craig can get some kickback, possibly, because he wrote half those companions.
Also,
anyway, just throwing that out there. So, next email comes from Lex Ledger, which is an interesting name. Lex Luthor and Heath Ledger as one. I don't know if anyone's ever thought about that for you, Lex. But
Wow.
He says, Smallville. Hey there, Zach. I just found your podcast about a month ago, since I was wanting to rewatch my DVDs of Smallville. Still waiting on the Blu-rays for the first 5 seasons to come out. That's true. I don't know why they just don't release. Like, they could put up, they exist in HD, right? On iTunes and on Hulu, they're in HD. If they put a little, like, asterisk saying this is 720 and not 1080, people would still buy them.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. But anyway, he goes on to say, I was going to watch it with you, but I binge pretty hard, and I'm currently on season 4 watching Spell, which is just awful. Thank you. Common sense.
Where's Corey right now?
Yeah, I know. Anyways, love the podcast. You do a great job of making fun of the ridiculous parts of Smallville while still coming off with love for the show that we all have here. Thank you. That is the balance I try to find. Like, I've been like, I love the show. I wouldn't be doing a podcast about the show if I didn't love it. But there's some crazy stuff that happens in the show, guys. We got to call it out when it happens. So he goes on to say, I grew up watching it like you, although I was 12 in 2001. And unlike Tom Welling, I didn't look 35, LOL. We don't agree on everything, of course, but I still enjoy listening and hearing your thoughts on why you like what you like. I am more of a fan of the later seasons. as I did not like the Freak of the Week format, but I admit they dropped that a lot in season 2 and 3 and then onward. You definitely give me more appreciation for the earlier seasons, and I can see how the 5-year plan they were going for. Season 9 is a great season. I also enjoy season 8, but the finale was a huge letdown and really ruined that season as a whole. I 100% agree. I always disagree with you about season 4, as I think Commencement is one of, if not the best season finale. But after rewatching the season, I'm starting to see your side. Thank you. Some common sense. There are some real bad ones here. But I'm only at spell and still have plenty to go in season 4 before I come over to the dark side with you. You spell dark side like dark side. I get it. I remember not loving season 7, but I hope to enjoy it more this time, as it's Lex's final season. I also feel the show itself should have ended at season 7, because the whole idea was based around Clark and Lex's friendship, and so with Michael Rosenbaum leaving, it would have made sense to end the show. We can all agree that the show went on a little too long. Just one question about the series finale, not sure if you had talked about it on one of your mini rants, lol. Lex's mind wipe kind of goes against the show's idea, because it took everything that happened to him away. So he can't remember his father or all of Clark's lies, yet he still goes evil? Nature versus nurture thing. I don't know what they were going for there. It just seems kind of dumb. Especially when in the scene with Clark, Lex says, quote, "That's the thing about memories, you can't forget them," unquote. Then they do. So your thoughts on that? Do you wish they let him keep his memories of Clark and Lionel and all his life events leading up to him turning bad? Quote, "Evil isn't a light switch, it's a journey," quote. And they took that journey away, in my opinion. Anyways, love the show, and I know this is a long email. I guess I went on like Zach's tangent. Ah, very good. But I will keep listening until you finally get to the series finale in 2027. I like this guy. LOL. Lex, yex, my real name, from Vancouver, Canada. Woo! Yes, living in Vancouver. It's cool to see all the film locations as I walk around the city. I pass Luther Corp and the Daily Planet often. This guy's
awesome.
Name is Lex. He lives in Vancouver. Wow, and I like your takes, Lex. He's giving me some crap, and I appreciate that. The great point about the series finale, right? That makes me think they knew what they were doing, because he says, "That's the thing about memories, you can't forget them," right? And then, like, you fast forward the last scene, and they literally have Lex erase all his memories, forget all his memories. I don't know. I mean, it just seemed like such a waste, because I feel like that Clark and Lex scene they have together salvage the finale for me. And it was such a great Clark Kent or Superman Lex Luthor scene, you know, about like their friendship and, you know, the greatest men in history are defined by their enemies. I mean, that's brilliant stuff. And then it's just all washed away, you know. And I always thought some of with Lex Luthor knowing Clark's secret, but like not using it against him for whatever twisted reason. Kind of like a Professor X Magneto thing, you know, like they were best friends and something had gone wrong. But they weren't like, you know, they're kind of like silent adversaries. I don't know, right? We were never going to see that future, right? So I don't understand why the end of the show they feel like, oh, we got to reset the Superman status quo, right? We got to make Clark Kent this dorky guy with glasses, and we got to make Lex Luthor not know about his secret. And we got, you know, I don't understand why they need to reset all these things, because there wasn't going to be a future they had to worry about. You know, I know it would be complicated to tell Superman stories when Lex Luthor and everybody knows Clark Kent's secret. But they got Lois and Clark pretty much got married before he even became Superman, you know? So, like, the lore of Superman is out the window. So I really don't understand why they chose to wipe his memory. I think if you could literally cut out the wine wipe, right, of Lex, and the finale would be much better. Because, like, I've even seen fan edits that do this, right, where he stabs Tess and he's like, "I'm saving you from becoming me," and she says, "Clark already did that," which is a great burn. Oof. And then she dies, and then he goes and looks out the window at Apocalypse, and that would have been fine, and you don't have to worry about him knowing Clark's secret. I don't know why they did that. I disagree with it, and we'll talk about it more in every single episode of the podcast So anyway, there you go. Let's move on to that. Well, did you have any thoughts on that, Nick?
No, I think you really had it on the nose there, because I always feel like any type of mind wipe or something that where suddenly someone has amnesia, it's a bit. I was surprised they actually use it again, because like we've been tallying in the beginning, how many times people forget things. It's I feel like it was a little bit of a cop out, but yeah, I highly agree that it could have really been done even without the mind wipe.
Yeah, and I've been joking lately, like, that would be stupid. That'd be like if they just erase Lex's memory or something, you know, because we were joking about if Lionel had, like, taken over Lex's body, And have they done like a switcheroo, like they were talking about, like, you know, lots of fan theories we're talking about. And they're like, well, no, if Lionel becomes Lex of the future, then Lex's friendship with Clark is totally thrown out, and that defeats the purpose of the show. And yet that's what they ended up doing. So, anyway.
All right, so we have another email from Tom Gerke. I believe this is the guy who's replacing my art.
Your replacement, yes.
I see how it is. I see how it is. All right, short-time listener, first-time emailer. Hello, Zach and team. I have just finished listening to season one on the podcast, and I just wanted to let you know how much I enjoyed it. I'm glad that you actually found me on Twitter, as I ended up live-tweeting my first ever viewing of Smallville this year. Revisiting things while everything is still very fresh in my mind has made the experience that much better. I'm probably 15 or so years older than you, so I find it amusing to hear you explain things to kids today. I'm also an IT nerd.
This is a floppy disk.
I'm also an IT nerd, so my perspective is just a bit different when it comes to certain topics. For instance, we are not all like the not Toyman IT guy. Very, very.
From Elite. Very,
yes,
good.
Yes,
very good.
That was a good one. So next, Chloe's camera in most of season one was a Sony Mavica. I know this because I own one at the time the show was first airing. It stored pictures on 3.5-inch floppies. He goes on to explain why it's called floppy. Floppy because the media inside the plastic was a magnetic tape-like material versus hard, like the metal platters of a hard drive. And at a time where digital cameras were still relatively new and storage costs were high, the ability to walk around with a box of fairly cheap discs to fill up was huge. Models even came with 6x to 10x optical zooms, perfect for a character like Chloe. I actually gave the showrunners points for this choice. Then I took away points for the amazing detail of her shots. A less than 2-megapixel image is not that much information. Enhance. Let me see it. Her next camera for a couple episodes with a twisty one, as you point out on the show, was that of a Nikon Coolpix 900 or 950. Again, just in the 2-megapixel range. But it had the ability to mount various lenses. I owned one of these. In my opinion, Chloe had a great taste in consumer photography gear. Before we leave Chloe, the Allison Mack Nexium stuff was really just hitting the fan in a big way when I was a couple seasons into my viewing. Needless to say, that colored my experience a bit. Even so, I was still firmly on the Clark ship bandwagon.
Let me stop you there. Very unfortunate stuff that's been going on with Allison Mack, no doubt. And you can't help but think about it when you rewatch Smallville. But I'm with you, Tom. I'm still on the Clark ship as well. Got good taste, my friend. I know that's why we get along so well.
Some quick random thoughts to close. Love early Lois. I always preferred the interpretation where Lois thought Clark was a bit of a goof while being infatuated with Superman. So I like that they ended up together, but did not really like how they got there in the later seasons. Definitely agree. I went to small private schools, so I wondered how accurate the WBCW high school experience was because I found it confusing. Sounds like it was not very accurate. Yeah, no, like, I still, to this day, there's still shows that do this, and I still have no idea what school they go to. I lived 20-plus years in a city of 26,000 that was just across the river from Metropolis, Illinois, a town of just 7,000. The 45,000 people that Smallville housed ends up being much larger than you would expect, even though they present it as if it's much smaller. Supporting more than one coffee shop, for instance, would not be a problem. A spring formal would not be unusual in a small rural town. Including freshmen would also not be out of question given the size of a high school in a small community. Although they present it as being much larger for some reason. The writing for a high school age kids seemed dated even to me. It felt like the writers were probably in their 40s or 50s at the time. It would be like me writing dialogue for kids in school today. Rosenbaum will forever be my Lex. Schneider is the best Pa Kent. Glover made me want Lionel to become a bigger part of the non-Smallville mythology. At any rate, thank you for a great show and engagement on social media. I would have enjoyed Smallville regardless, but you made it that much better. Looking forward to my second viewing as I follow along for now. Always holding on to Smallville. Tom. P.S. Think I'm going to do Lois and Clark next. Thanks to having heard Matt on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much, Tom. Tom is the new artist on the show, doing the show artwork. So thank you so much.
Second artist, second. We're gonna go with second.
There it is. I'm so glad we didn't really time this out or whatever. But I'm so glad you had to read his email. Tom, thanks so much. You unsolicitedly sent us that Mount Smallville, and they're doing the artwork, and I really appreciate it, man. It really makes it, people are loving the artwork. So that's all credit to Tom Gerke right there, everybody.
Hey, he sounds like a great guy, so I'm excited to see his work and everything.
I could not ask for a better artist. I really couldn't.
Oh, because apparently you didn't already ask one.
Anyway, we're having a good time. So at least I am. Hope Nick is.
I am. Don't worry.
That's right, listeners. We're friends. It's okay. So I'm glad that you're going to look up Lois and Clark because of Matt Truex being on the show. I don't know if you have DC Universe, but Lois and Clark's now in DC Universe, Tom. So
I need to get that.
Makes it a little easier to watch and track down. Yeah. So I have it, but I haven't watched anything like Titans, or I've just been watching Batman the Animated Series, and then also Legends of the Superheroes, which is the worst TV special in the history of TV specials. So, moving on to Peter Oxenhall, sent us a message on Facebook. He says, "Hi, I recently rewatched the episode Idol and have made note of a line that seemingly explains away the inconsistent travel time between Smallville and Metropolis. Right after the Wonder Twins have knocked out the power of Metropolis, there's a scene where Lois notes, quote, 2 hours to get here with the monorail down, unquote. So it takes 2 hours. There's some monorail between Smallville and Metropolis. I find this kind of unbelievable. What do you think, Nick?
That, I don't know. That having an actual monorail, every single time I hear monorail, I think of The Simpsons. But to Smallville, when did they build it? Why didn't we hear about it? Because it was that easy. They wouldn't have we had to take him to the hospital in Metropolis. It's like, okay, they make it sound like it's really far, but now you're just like, oh, okay, the monorail is down, and it's 2 hours here, 2 hours without it. So...
is it the same monorail we always see, you know, on the Metropolis street, you know, in that back, lot? But thank you for the comment there and the research there, Peter. And we'll keep an eye on that time between Smallville and Metropolis as the series continues. So I have another email from Corey Moore called Resurrection. He says, "My dude, a while back I told you that I've only given one episode of Smallville a D. Well, Resurrection is that one. A D+ to be specific. I get the plus rating from that badass scene where Clark takes care of the bomb. The plot holes in this episode are deep and wide. Only the gopher in the Caddyshack movie leaves larger plot holes. But I still enjoy the episode. There's no bad episode of Smallville. I love them all, if that makes any sense. Thanks for keeping Smallville alive. It means a lot to me to have my weekly fix of Smallville up, up, and away." Well, thank you, Corey. And wow, Resurrection, I guess, is your least favorite episode of Smallville. Wow, a fine distinction. So.
All right. So we have another one from Sam Aram, 28. Gave us 4 stars on iTunes. "New to Smallville. Love the podcast. I just started watching for the first time, and I really enjoy listening to the breakdowns that you guys have. My only issue is that I'm new to the series, and there's so many spoilers. But I can't be too mad."
Uh-oh.
"I can't be too mad at it, since this is a really old series. I'm currently still in season one, so I'm excited to have this podcast along with my Smallville journey."
Well, Sam, I hope you're not listening to this episode, because we spoiled quite a few things.
Make sure you do a spoiler intro.
That's the thing. Yeah, I mean, doing a retrospective podcast, I can't say, well, I wonder what this means. Like, you know, we just got to talk about it. But I do understand the first-time viewer, so it's a struggle. The struggle is real, but I'm going to keep going with the format and keep talking about the finale in every episode, if that's okay with y'all. So, anyway, our next message we got on Facebook from Michael Ortiz, and he says, "Hey, Zach, just wanted to reach out and say thank you. You posted about Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum appearing at the LA Sci-Fi Con a few weeks back, and I attended and got to meet them both. I just happened to see your post about it on here the week before it happened, and I lived near LA and immediately made plans to go. Without your awesome constant news feed of all things Smallville, I never would have known they were going to do a signing close to me. So thank you so much for the heads up. I had such a fun experience there. Still loyally following the podcast, and your season 3 coverage has been great. 3 is probably my favorite season. And he goes on to say, I ended up talking to Michael for like 4 to 5 minutes. He just kept the conversation going. He said no one but me had ever asked him to sign an Impastor script before. He was happy I listened to his music. He opened his arms wide, gave me a big hug after we talked. If I meet him again, I'll keep that in mind, and would love to hear them on the podcast. Well, we'll see. We'll see if we can get Michael and Tom. That would be the great the white whale of the podcast, right? Let's get Michael Rosenbaum or Tom, the elusive Tom Welling, to be on a podcast. Honestly, if you ask me, anybody from Smallville you would talk to, I want to talk to Alan Miles, right? They created the show, the executive producers, right? So Al Goff, now I know how to pronounce his name correctly, and Miles Millar, I would love to talk to them. They both follow me on Twitter.
Nice.
And have, you know, I've sent one message back and forth with Al before about something inconsequential, and Miles likes a lot of my tweets and retweets them. So they're busy men, but maybe
one of these days,
a long time from now, I'll be like, hey, look, guys, I just finished talking about 217 episodes of the show. Could you spare me a half hour? We'll see. But, you know, hey, they're busy guys. I have no illusions of grandeur with this podcast. But obviously, I would love to talk to Tom and Michael on the podcast proper. But Alan Miles would be my number one picks. And Michael actually sent me some pictures of him and Michael and Tom at the Comic-Con. So I'll post those on our social media as well.
Awesome. So we have another email from our favorite fan, Corey Moore. Weather vane on my barn. Zach, when I was installing this weather vane, guess what I was thinking about? The legacy episode from Smallville when Jonathan was on his barn installing the weather vane. Then the key called out to him, making a deafening sound, causing him to lose his balance. And of course, Clark made a badass catch before he hit the ground. Thankfully, I didn't hear anything to make me lose my balance. Everything went well. Up, up, and away.
And we also have some pictures that Corey sent us of him and his weather vane. So we'll post those on the social media as well. So thank you, as always, for that, Corey. Next email comes from Adam Parker. He says, hey, Zach, a few thoughts and a question. Hey again, Zach. I'm loving the season 3 coverage and looking forward to your thoughts on season 4. Ha! All the listeners know that I've trash-talked season 4 for several seasons now. My wife and I are expecting our third child, congratulations, in another 6 weeks or so, and she had been laid up for at least some of this pregnancy. She was thinking about something she could watch, and she actually suggested Smallville. Twist my arm, right? So we started from the beginning maybe 2 months ago, and we were in the middle of season 6 now. I'm loving a chance to watch again, and it's almost like she's seeing it for the first time. She had forgotten so much. Fake baby! I know what you mean, but I'm not going to spoil it because we're not about spoilers here on this podcast now. I took the opportunity to re-listen to the podcast since I was watching the first seasons again, and I still love the experience. I think her favorite thing the podcast has added to our watching is me calling out tally board items. She specifically enjoys KOs to keep Clark secret, amnesia count, shut that laptop, and product placement Pete. She prefers to call it take my Yaris, but to each their own. Now, that is a great suggestion. Our Pete is gone now, and we used to call him product placement Pete way back in the Krypton side days. But should I change a category name, Nick? I mean, what do you think? Because Chloe kind of becomes
the product placement.
Everybody knows that. You can take my Yaris.
You could definitely still call it product placement Pete in honor of him. Just change it to product placement Pete.
Right. Now that Pete's gone, if any character has a product placement, we'll put it in there. So. There it is. Take my Yaris. That's a good suggestion, though. However, I've had a request from my pregnant wife. I told her I would pass on to you. She loves keeping a tally of people saying you weren't yourself. I guess by season 6, everyone knows each other well and need to explain all the crazy. It seems like half of season 6 is someone saying it. Obviously, it tends to be around under the influence or mind control. I know you're hesitant to add a new category to tally board, so I'll understand if you think this doesn't warrant inclusion. Thanks for doing the podcast. It really is one of the highlights of my week, Adam Parker. But if you do want the info, I did a little digging and completed a tally through season 3. So he has 9 instances of you weren't yourself. Leech, Nicodemus, Rush twice. Exodus, Phoenix twice. Whisper, and Truth. So we have none. I mean, he's having a baby, right? Least I can do to help a brother out and a sister. Thank you guys for being fans of the show and your family. I like that you guys have kind of like a family thing. You got third kid on the way. You're watching Smallville together. I think that's awesome.
That's really cool.
So tell you what, I'm going to add you're not yourself. I mean, it's, I guess that's what I have to call it to the tally board. What do you think about
that? Not yourself. I don't remember a lot of him, but I'm sure we're going to find more.
We have nine in three seasons. And he says there's a lot important seasons.
That's you know what? Yeah, I think it's something we could definitely add on. If you name your kid Zach, I'm just kidding.
But that's right. That's my price. You have to name your son Zach. If it's a son, if it's a daughter, you name it. I don't know. There's not really a feminine version of Zach, unfortunately.
So. Zacharina.
Name your child whatever you want. But I will add you weren't yourself, quote, to the tally board, because I mentioned it on the podcast before. That's why I brought it up, because I was saying, you know, I don't really use like lines of dialogue for the tally board, right? Mm-hmm. But this phrase happens so often on this show, and they're having a baby, Nick, so I think we're gonna add it to category four.
Yes. Okay, that sounds good. All right, so now we've got Corey Moore. Another letter saying Forsaken. Howdy, Zach. Forsaken gets a B- from me. Clearly, this episode had some problems. You and Lance discussed them, but this was an entertaining episode. The drama between Lionel and Lex is very interesting, and the cinematography scenes at the Kent farm are tremendous. My favorite scene is when Pete tells Clark he's leaving town with his mom. Makes me sad every time I watch it. Sam Jones III really put his heart into this scene. It makes me think, what if the showrunners gave him more to do on my favorite show? Give me the damn keys.
No. You got to say it. You got to say it like, give me the damn keys.
But it was because we were saying goodbye to him. But okay, fine.
Give me the damn keys.
I laugh every time that you and Lance talk about Clark and Pete playing basketball in jeans. Oh my gosh. Now that I'm a country boy, I'm playing basketball in jeans also. But let me explain. I'm doing farm chores, and I'm finding myself needing a break from the baling of hay and mucking out stalls. I see my hoop by the barn, just like Clark's, so I quickly grab the basketball and launch a few from downtown. There's no time to change into my shorts and my 1993 Air Jordan black and red sneakers, round carpet Jordan logo on the tongue. I'm just taking a little break, like Clark. Then it's back to work. You got to read this email here. I know there are others who share the same experience of playing basketball in their jeans. Congrats on the Patreon idea. I like it. Up, up, and away.
Well, thank you, Corey. I like the Patreon idea, too. So I hope to see you over there. I know I will. Over there on the Patreon. Yeah, you know, we've talked about people playing basketball in jeans many times before here, but I guess it's a different world in the Midwest. But I refuse to believe high school was any differently than the way I experienced it. And I think it's ridiculous. So we're going to keep talking about it. So anyway, I remember Lance will remember this distinctly. We played, the Kovacs had that big New Year's party mm-hmm. every year. Did you ever go to any of those?
No, I was never cool.
No.
I was a Pete. Well, Pete was cooler than me.
You were like Pete not getting invited to all the things at the Lutheran.
Oh, there we go. Basically. Yes, we'll go with that.
Yeah. So the COVID, they had this, you know, big New Year's thing every year. One year, we did that. And then the next day, we all decided to play basketball. You know how cold it is on New Year's Day, even in Texas.
Yeah.
And,
all 70 degrees.
I mean, we're all wearing like, it was cold that day. It was like 50 degrees, 45 degrees. I'm wearing basketball shorts and a t-shirt. I swear, I almost died. I thought my lung was going to collapse. Lance, I think it's the last time I've ever played basketball, really. Lance still gives me crap about that. But it was so cold. And I'm more of a baseball guy than a basketball guy. So, doing full court press. Not my thing. So anyway, keep wearing your jeans and your jackets, Midwest people playing basketball at school. So, come to our final message, Nick, by Peter Oxenhall. He sends a message on Facebook. It's about Smallville having two Supergirls. He says, Smallville had two Supergirls. Yeah, it's a shame they didn't have the other 8-plus Supergirls make an appearance. Not joking. If anything, I'm underselling just how many Supergirls DC has had since the 1950s. The Kara Zor-El one wasn't even the first. Looking forward to your podcast episode about the next episode and fake Kara, who may be fake in more ways than one. And then he sent us this post from the Krypton Side forums. Krypton Side still exists. About Lindsay Harrison, the fake Kara. And he had a theory, basically, that she was, because, you know, we had a lot of back and forth about how did Jor-El, who wasn't even in the caves at the time, kidnap this girl and put her in a cave and reprogram her mind for, you know, 16 years or whatever, right? So his suggestion was she was never real. She was a hologram, because we saw in Exodus that Jor-El can make, you know, holograms of people. Mm-hmm. And this whole theory says, you know, the whole time that Lindsay was at the Kent farm, Martha says she hasn't ate or drank anything the whole time she's been here. So that implies that she was never real. She was just a construct of light, like a hologram, you know. And I thought that was a very interesting theory, because that's a huge plot hole, that this girl's car got hit by a meteorite and then you know, flew into a cave somehow and got trapped there, and Jor-El just used her as when he needed, you know. So that's I like this theory a lot. What do you think?
The theory is interesting, because they're saying, like, oh, maybe like a finger of hers just flew into the cave and that's what he used to make a genetic DNA
yeah.
for it. But then the whole scene where they're flying together made me like, well, then was he actually like, I don't know. The whole concept of holograms make me a little bit confused about it, but I can see it, because he does point out, it's like, how did she disintegrate this car? Because, like, that's not an actual power or anything like that. So it's an old theory, but, yeah, well, it's definitely something to look into, but I'm sure they never pick up on it later on.
Well, no, of course not. They only mention Kara, this fake Kara, that one more time when the real Kara shows up. And, I mean, this kind of stuff is what fan fiction and fan speculation was made for, you know? Like, this is a huge plot hole. Like there's no reason why Jor-El would think, oh, I better save this girl, mm-hmm. you know, in case my son doesn't want to come with me a year after I try to get him to come with me the first time. And I'm going to reprogram her and give her powers and all that stuff, you know? That's a big reason why I gave Covenant A-, you know? Mm-hmm. So there you have it. But also, and we had an update, I know me and Craig were talking about it, and we said it was a Smallville high school student death. Actually, no, she, and I'll add a screenshot. By the time you hear this recording, I will have added to the screenshot and of her obituary and shown that she was not from Smallville. They were passing through visiting family. So, that was incorrect, and I will adjust the tally board accordingly. She was not a Smallville high school student, Lindsay Harrison.
Oh, wow.
So there you have it.
Ooh. All right, let's zip up this mailbag.
I know, right? That has been a marathon of mail. Nick, thank you so much for reading through it.
No, I enjoy this. I miss this so much. I wish I had more time to keep up with the episodes. there is a couple of superhero movies coming out. If you ever need me to come on to one of your Patreon talks, just let me know.
What's that? Patreon? What?
All right, product placement.
Patreon, you say? You guys have not heard the last of Nick Ryan Mendoza, I'll tell you that.
You probably
right
won't.
Now. And Nick and I, we give each other crap, but we're, you know, about the artwork and all that stuff and the hosting and all of that. It's all in good fun, guys. Okay, we're not having awkward moments here on the air. I know it's weird. I don't think about how other people see the way you talk to each other. You know, like your friends or you know, you got a certain language, like your friend, or girlfriend, or whatever. And then you think about the public hearing. They're like, man, what's with these guys? What's their deal?
Well, if you go back to the earlier episodes where I'm in it, and then you listen to them, you'll see our back and forth. So it's nothing new.
Yeah, it's all good fun. So anyway, but in all seriousness, Nick, great to talk to you again, mm-hmm. man. You were one of the few, when I talk about those people at school I used to talk to about Smallville, Nick is one of those people.
Yes.
So it's great to have his perspective here with us. And also, thank you so much for the artwork, man, because that was a big deal when you first launched the show. So it is going to live on. I'm not going to erase it.
It's
like I just delete it.
It's a legacy thing. You better not, because that would be a bit different than...
Yeah, so your artwork is like the Kawachi Caves, and Tom's new artwork is like the Forest of Solitude.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I'll go for it. In the better seasons. I was in the better seasons.
Throw down. So, anyway, Nick, if people want to find you out there on social media, man, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter as at Nick Ryan. I was one of the first people to adopt, so I got that name, NickRyan. And I'm also on Instagram at NickRyan.jpg. Wasn't fast enough for that, but yeah, that's where you can find me.
Nick Ryan JPEG. All right, as for me personally, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoronZach. I'm also the host of another podcast, Standard Orbit, on the Trek FM Star Trek Network. We talk about all things old and new, Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. As for the podcast here, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Alone Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with one S. So we will zip up the mailbag for now. Thank you guys so much for your emails and your messages and your iTunes reviews, especially, you know, it's great to get feedback because, you know, that really makes it worthwhile. And then having the kind of, we've developed a rapport with you guys over the time. You know, you guys are dropping in the hole all these stupid catchphrases I say and try to make in jokes for you guys are picking up on it. So that makes it worth my while. So I really do appreciate it. And you know, I do the podcast for me, but I also do it for you guys. And we got a fun thing going here. And hey, we got 7 more years to go, right?
When this episode airs, is it already going to have a new logo?
Yes. It's going to have a new logo. This is the official launch of the new logo this episode. So I'm just pouring salt into that wound. So.
Okay, it was fun, guys. Always hold on to the old logo.